can be seated. On December the 31st, 2017, almost into 2018, my wife and I were on our annual vacation, and we have been going to Hawaii since 1973. In fact, during the millennium, I plan to be governor of the Hawaiian Islands, so come visit me, okay?
Okay. So I still have to keep this on? I don't want that hanging on my ear if I'm not using it. Hallelujah. And now I can button my coat. Hallelujah. Well, you want to start all over? Actually, my message was in that thing, and I was just going to lip sync. All right. Once again, so good to be with you, and thank you for coming out tonight. And I just really have a great anticipation for what God is going to do during the course of this week, the next several days. As I began to tell you, on December the 31st, 2017, my wife and I were on our annual vacation in Hawaii, and every morning, we go for about 2 weeks, and every morning, I get up very early, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I walk the beach, and I spend about 2 hours just walking the beach, praying, listening to the Holy Spirit, and whatever He says to me, when I come back to my room, I write it down. And then Carol and I go have breakfast and then enjoy the rest of our day. And on that particular day, the Lord said this to me. And I know you've already heard it, but I want to repeat it. He said this to me. Everywhere you preach, all over the world in 2018, you tell believers to keep on their lips and in their prayers these words, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And he said, you preach that everywhere you go. And so since the very first day of this year, I've preached it. And of course, I'm starting up my new year. And we'll be all over the world during the first 5 months of this year. And this is what I intend to preach everywhere I go. We have reached a time, I believe, where God is wanting to show us His glory, perhaps like we have never experienced it before. I've experienced it, and I know many of you have as well, but I believe we're headed for days of greater glory. That's what He prophesied. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I believe that former house is talking about us, or the latter house is talking about us. We are going to see the glory of God like no other generation has ever experienced it. And I don't believe we're talking about another 20 years. I think it's on us right now. In fact, I have great anticipation that this year is going to be experienced more so than any of our previous years, praise God. And it'll just keep building and picking up momentum. So if you study the glory of God, and particularly from Exodus chapter 33, it's very clear that the glory of God is a manifestation of God's presence, God's power, and God's goodness. I noticed you've written a song. Is that Garth doing that? Where is he? Okay. Did Garth write that? The song he just sang a few moments ago? Exodus chapter 33. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And if you keep reading Exodus 33 and 34, it becomes very clear that God refers to His glory as the manifestation of His presence, His power, and His goodness. He also says that I will do marvels which has not been done in the earth up to this time. I believe that's prophetic. It wasn't only for Moses' day, but I believe it's for our day. That God is about to do things that you and I have never experienced before. We've never witnessed them before. You know, I came to the Lord in 1969. And from the moment I surrendered my life to the Lord, it became a quest for me to know His power, to know His presence, to know His goodness. I didn't hear anything about those things growing up. I did not grow up in circles where the glory of God was spoken about or preached about. I didn't grow up in circles where my parents went to meetings like of Oral Roberts or William Branham or some of those men of days gone by where miracles and signs and wonders took place. But after coming to the Lord in 69, I got hungry for experiencing the presence of God in my life, the power of God in my life, and the goodness of God in my life. And I began to experience it immediately. After spending 3 months, after I shut my business down, and I went into my guest bedroom and studied the Word under the Lord's instructions, no less than 8 hours a day for the next 3 months. And at the end of that 3 months, I came out of that bedroom with the power of God in my hands, the Word of God in my mouth and in my heart, the fire of God in my eyes, and only one problem. There wasn't a soul who wanted to hear a word I had to say. No church was inviting me. No pastor that I knew of believed in me, you know. And so the Lord said, don't wait for an invitation. Take it to the streets. So I started this ministry 49 years ago in the streets of my city, Shreveport, Louisiana. I was ministering to drug addicts, prostitutes, alcoholics, down and outers. And I saw miracles from day one. In fact, it became so prominent with miracles and deliverances and people getting set free that the police department contacted me and said, come and preach in the jails. And so I started going to the jails every week and preached in the jails and had such phenomenal success in the jails that the sheriff's department said, come to the prisons. So I started going to the prisons and had such success in the prisons that, you know, by this time, I don't need an invitation because God is doing miracles right there in the highways and the byways, so to speak. And it got to the place to where our home became a haven for these kind of people, people that were bound by drugs, people that were alcoholics. Our home became a haven, and they would come, and they'd bring friends, and every night, we'd pray for people and get people delivered and set free. The Lord said, I've anointed your hands. Get your hands on them. And my power will flow from your hand into them and set them free. And I saw miracles from day one. And then eventually, I met Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts had become one of my heroes in the faith. And I heard the call of God watching Oral Roberts when I was a young boy, but I never dreamed I'd ever meet him. I mean, what's the odds of an 11-year-old boy hearing the call of God, watching Oral Roberts preach, and then one day befriending, you know, or become an associate of his? That wasn't likely to happen. But he heard me preaching on television, and he called. His secretary called and said, Brother Roberts wants you to come to his office today. And so who am I to say no to Oral Roberts? Even though I had things I had planned that day, but I thought, well, I've never met the man, and he wants to meet me. And so I flew to Tulsa, and when I walked in his office, he said, I've been wanting to meet you for a long time. I turned around to see who else came in the room. I said, you talking to me? He said, yes, I've been wanting to meet you for a long time. He said, I heard that you heard the call of God watching me on television when you were 11 years old, 1957. I said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, well, I told my wife, Evelyn, that it's time for me to meet this young man. He said, we watched you preach on television yesterday, And he said, and the sermon you were preaching was one of my old sermons from the tent meeting days called The Fourth Man. And he said, I just want you to know, I've never heard anybody preach with such authority and such power as you did. The only person I've ever heard preach that sermon better than you was me. Amen. And that immediately began a relationship. And I said to him, and eventually we preached together in several different meetings, and he went, came to Africa with me one time back in the early 80s, and eventually I became a member of his board. I served on his board for over 25 years. I would go to Tulsa, and I'd say to him, Brother Roberts, I feel like I've been robbed. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I didn't grow up in your tent meetings. My wife did. Carolyn was taken to his tent meetings when she was a little girl. In fact, just barely crawling, her mom and dad would take her to Oral Roberts' tent meetings and lay a quilt on the floor, a blanket on the sawdust floor, and she would lay there in the floor of that big tent, held about 20,000 people back in those days. And she said, I barely remember it, but I know I was there because my mom and dad told me. But then when she got older, she remembered those meetings very well. And her pastor, Jack Moore, was a very dear friend of William Brennan's. In fact, he traveled with William Brennan all over the world. And he came to their church, where Carolyn grew up, often. She saw signs and wonders and miracles. Jack Coe came to their church. A.A. Allen would come to their church. All of those great evangelists of days past, healing evangelists, Carolyn sat under every one of their ministries. Now, I didn't grow up that way. I didn't know anything about those people. And now that I'm serving the Lord and I'm hungry for the things of God, I'd say to Brother Roberts, I feel like I've been robbed because I didn't get to be in your tent meetings. He said, you know, we recorded them all, their own film. They're down in the archives, and anytime you want to come watch them, I'll assign a student from the university to go down and play them. We've got them on old 16-millimeter film. And he said, you can watch them anytime you want. I said, when? He said, well, whenever you want. I said, how about right now? He said, you want to watch them now? I said, yes. I went down into the archives, and they had a student down there that turned on the old projector, and I sat there on it, watching on the big screen those old crusades all the way back to 1949. And I saw miracles, and I tell you, I could not sit still. I wept, I cried, I jumped, I leapt. I could not sit still. The anointing of God was so strong on them, even though they were many, many years old. And finally, Brother Roberts came down there, and he said, are you still here? I said, yes. I said, can I do it again tomorrow? He said, well, sure. So I went back the next morning, stayed all day. They had to run me off. You know, they were ready to go home, turn the lights out. And I said, can I come back tomorrow? He said, you are one hungry individual. I said, you are looking at the hungriest man on the planet. Right now, I'm the hungriest man on the planet. I want God's power, anointing, and the moving of His Spirit in my life. And I'm not satisfied until it happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I discovered that that is one of the prerequisites to seeing His glory. Hunger for it. You have to hunger for it. If you're satisfied with the status quo, if you're satisfied with just Christianity as usual, if you're satisfied with just services that are just the norm, and it's not likely you'll ever see any greater manifestations of the glory of God. Jesus said, when you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. It requires hunger. Look at your neighbor and say, are you hungry? I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Praise God. Amen. I am one hungry person for the glory of God. And not only that, I'm not only hungry for it, but I plan to be right in the middle of it, praise God. I plan to be a part of the reason why it's happening, hallelujah. Amen? How about you? Yeah. Anybody in here hungry? Praise God. That's the number one prerequisite. You have to hunger for it. People that don't hunger for it, they've seen about all they're going to see. But when you hunger for it, then God will not let you down. Every major move of God that has ever taken place on this planet came as a result, first of all, hunger. And you know, it doesn't take a whole church to be hungry. God proved in His Word that Him and one person is a majority. He said, I look for a man that would stand in the gap. Notice He didn't say, I look for an entire denomination. I look for a man. One man and God is a majority. Hallelujah. You get one person that hungers for His glory, and God will honor that person's hunger. Praise God. I said, is anybody hungry in here tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And you ought to be getting hungrier. Praise God. Amen. Hunger. If you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. In other words, you will not be denied. You won't be disappointed. Moses said, show me your glory. He used the word, I beseech thee. To beseech means it shows desperation. It shows hunger. It shows urgency. I sense an urgency in the spirit that God is ready to move the way He's always wanted to move, but He can't do it because He'd violate His own word if He did, and there's no hunger for it because it requires hunger. One great evangelist of days past made this statement. It seems as though God does nothing in the earth until somebody prays. Amen. He does nothing in the earth until somebody prays. Shows hunger. And once hunger is demonstrated, God will honor that person's request. Can you say amen? Amen. And you can be just as hungry as you want to be. Amen. There's no limits on it. Amen. No restrictions on it. So I want to challenge you this week. Get hungry for the glory of God, the manifested presence, power, and goodness of God like you have never been in your life before. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and give God a good shout in praise once again. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. Show me your glory, Lord.
Show me your glory,
say it again. Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
He said to me, I want you to do this every day. I said, no, Lord, that's a little bit contrary to what I've learned all these years about faith. Faith believes it receives when it prays. For me to keep saying, show me your glory, it sounds like I didn't believe that I received when I prayed. He said, well, let me ask you this. Do you want to see it every day? Do you want to see it every day? Amen. He said, then get up every day and say, show me your glory. And you're talking about receiving it that day. And then tomorrow, get up again and say, show me your glory. And believe you receive it that day. And then get up the next day and say, show me your glory. And believe you receive it for that day. And then get up the next day and just keep doing it. Praise God. And I believe that you're going to begin to experience manifestations of His presence, His power, and His goodness like you've never experienced before. It's already happening in my life. And God's no respecter of persons. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was in Palm Coast, Florida, just a few weeks ago. Richard Roberts and I were doing a meeting there in that particular area of Florida. It's near Daytona. And we were preaching, I'd do one service, and then the next time he'd do the service, and we'd go back and forth. And then the last day we were there, we tag team preached. And we were talking about, show me your glory. And the Spirit of God began to move in such a powerful way. And I remember he and I were going back and forth with words of knowledge. God would say something to me, and I'd call it out and minister to this person, and Richard would get something, and he'd call it out, and he'd minister, and it was just back and forth. We were tag team in the Spirit, and it was marvelous. And I remember saying, there's someone in here tonight who had a terrible automobile accident, and it has caused severe pain in your neck and vertebrae, and you've never been healed of it. And it happened some time ago. But God wants to show you His glory. And the person got up, and it turned out to be a person I knew. And I didn't know this about them. I didn't know about the car wreck. But it had happened 15 months before. And she said she and her husband were driving somewhere to dinner or something, and a car slammed in behind them. The guy missed his brakes or something, and he slammed into their car, and it injured her severely. And the doctors had done all that they knew to do, and she still had tremendous pain, and had been going on now for 15 months. And so I said, Lord, show her your glory. And I laid my hands on her. And the moment I did, the power of God came on her, and she went to moving that neck. She did things with her neck I couldn't do. I mean, she was instantly healed. And about that time, and Richard said, and there's somebody over here in severe back pain. And I was standing in right in front of him, and he said, I know it's not Jerry, but it's somebody real close to me. And it turned out to be the usher that was following us. And he had severe back pain. And the moment he laid hands on him, the back pain left immediately. And he testified all the way through that week, he'd never had another pain in his back. God is interested in showing us His glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe it is His supreme desire to show us His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And if we hunger for it, then He is not going to disappoint us. Amen. Now, once again, beseech means to implore. It means to ask with urgency. It means to request earnestly. And all of that comes to this: hunger. That just simply defines the word hunger. And Jesus said once again, those that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied with whatever it is they're hungry for. If you hunger for the things of God, then Jesus promises that you will not be disappointed. Another word for hunger is desperation. Desperate people do things that the normal human being is not willing to do when you're desperate. Amen. How many of you got desperate for God at a time in your life? Amen. Desperate people, they take measures that other people won't take. They'll go distances that other people won't go. You know, back when the early 70s, Brother Hagin started those camp meetings, and it was like a meeting of its only type at that time. And people came from all over America to be in those meetings. And it kept growing, and it kept growing, and it kept growing. And the anointing of God kept increasing and kept increasing. And it got to the place where it was a meeting you didn't want to miss, because God was doing so many wonderful things in that meeting. But people came out of desperation. Brother Roberts told me when he was doing those tent crusades that the largest tent they had would hold nearly 20,000 people. But he said there were several other thousands people that couldn't get in the tent. And many of them, they couldn't handle the prayer lines because of their illnesses and their frailty. You know, they were extremely frail. They couldn't handle standing, and they had terminal diseases. And he said, but they would come from all over America desiring to see God's glory, to be healed. Amen. They were desperate. I remember when Carol and I first married back in 1966, and she grew up in a Pentecostal church. I didn't. And she's trying to make a Pentecostal out of me. Well, I don't even know what a Pentecostal is. Sounded cheap to me, Pentecostal. You know, I don't know. And so, just a little humor there, okay. And so she started taking me to church where she went. And I wasn't serving the Lord in those days, and I certainly wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'd never seen people speak in tongues, and I'd never seen people pray for people, you know, and cast out devils, and all of this stuff was going on there, you know. And when they'd start that, I'd get lower and lower under that bench, hoping that they wouldn't see me or find me, because I thought, whatever they're casting out, I think I have some of them. She took me to a William Branham meeting. And this was one of the last meetings William Branham did before he went home to be with the Lord. And Carolyn, I was in, I was working and I was going to college at the same time. And she said, I want you to be home Friday night to hear Brother Branham. And she said, the place will be packed out, but I'll save you a seat. Well, I didn't want to hear Brother Branham or any other brother. And so anyway, I decided to go just to keep peace in the home, you know. And so we got there, man, the place was packed out. And when William Branham came up to the platform, he was a very humble man. He talked very soft and, you know, he wasn't real loud. And he just say, God's healing now. And you're going to be set free tonight. And it was just, you know, just like matter of fact. And Carolyn had an uncle that I had met just before we married. And this uncle was bowed over like this, just like the woman in the Bible that Jesus ministered to. He was bowed over like this, and he'd have to look up like this, and he'd shake hands with you like this. And he couldn't straighten up. And he'd walk like this, and they helped him get in and out of the car and everything. And he came to that meeting that night, and he was sitting on the aisle. And Carolyn had saved a seat for me, and she was kind of in the middle of the aisle. And her uncle's name was Uncle Jesse. And when I walked by him, he was seated, but he was slumped over in the chair because of the way he was, his back was injured or whatever. And it could have been from birth, I'm not sure. But anyway, when I walked by him, he said, hello, Jerry, and I shook hands with him. And I went and took my seat. And then when Brother Branham started ministering to people, all of a sudden, Uncle Jesse stood straight up, straight and tall. You could hear bones popping in his back. And he stood straight up and walked out of that place straight up, praise God, praising God. I mean, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And I saw miracles that night like I'd never seen before. I mean, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and it took 2 weeks to get it to lay down again, you know. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And even though I wasn't serving God, I knew that the day that I finally surrendered my life to Him, things like that would happen in my ministry. Because I hungered for it. Amen. I hungered for it. And shortly after that, after I went into the ministry and then... people began to hear about the miracles that were happening in the streets. Then I started getting invitations. And I'll never forget one of the first places I went to. It was a little small Pentecostal church. And usually they seemed like they were on the backside of the tracks, you know, and nobody knew they existed. But they loved God with all their heart. And there was a family that brought their daughter to the meeting. And she was probably around 10 or 11 years old, but she had the mentality of a three-year-old. And she never had learned to walk. She never learned to talk. And they carried her. She was the size of an 11-year-old, but they had to carry her into the meeting, and they set her down beside them. But she groaned all night long, this groan. You could hear it, and her head's moving, and I don't know the medical term, but a layman term would be spastic. And she just groaned all night. And then this saliva would come out of her mouth. And it was the most horrible smell you'd ever smelled. And the Lord said, I want you to go back there and get that little girl and put her in your arms and carry her around for the rest of the service. And the anointing on you will come into her and she'll be set free. So I went back and I told the couple what the Lord said. And I took that little girl up in my arms. And it was very difficult to carry her around while I preached. She had no control over her kidneys nor her bowels. And she urinated all over my suit. The saliva coming out of her while she's shaking her head, you know, was almost unbearable, the stench. And when I got through with that service, and I just touched her, and I said, be made whole. And in the natural, nothing seemed to happen. I took her back to her family. And they took her home after the service. Now I got one more night, the next night. The next night, when I came in, this little girl was walking. This little girl was talking. This little girl said, Brother Jerry, when she came in the door. And so I called the parents up and I said, what happened? They said, when we took her home, in the natural, we couldn't see any difference. But we were believing God. We believed the prayer of faith would raise our daughter up. And said, we always kept her in like a baby bed, a crib, a large crib, so that she wouldn't fall out during the night. And said, during the night, we heard a noise. And we got up, and the baby, a little girl, was not in her crib. She was sitting in the floor in the kitchen. And they didn't know how she got there, because she couldn't walk on her own. And when they turned the light on and saw her sitting in the kitchen, her first words were, Mama, I'm hungry. And they were shocked. And so they fed her. And they took her back in the bed. And the next morning, when they got up to get ready to come to the service, she was totally, totally healed. Totally restored. Normal, praise God. Amen. Now, if that doesn't make you hunger for more, you know, Joe and I are cousins. We been working together now. He's been in ministry with me for 37 years now. But our mothers were sisters, and we grew up with a special bond to each other. We had a lot of cousins, but it seemed like Joe and I just always paired off together. And little did we know that we're going to spend the rest of our lives preaching the gospel together around the world in those days. And we had another cousin. And when he heard that I had gotten saved and I surrendered my life to the Lord, he came to visit me. And he said, you don't have any fun anymore, do you? I said, what do you mean? He said, you used to be cool, but you're a preacher now. You don't have any fun now, do you? I said, well, just follow me around. He said, well, what could you possibly do that's fun? You just preach all the time. What fun is that? I said, well, when's the last time you saw blind eyes open? You saw cripples walk? You saw deaf mutes talk? You telling me I don't have fun? Follow me around sometime. And he started following me around. And he'd been having more fun than he ever had in his life. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, he had a motorcycle accident, almost killed him. And I went to the hospital and prayed for him. And God raised him up. Hallelujah. He became a part of our church, like Christian Bikers. And he'd been having fun ever since he got into the things of God. He began to hunger for it. And God honored his hunger. So number one, to ask God to show you his glory, the number one prerequisite is you must hunger for it. Are you hungry tonight?
Yes.
Show me how hungry you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses said, go ahead and be seated, in Exodus 33:15, he was so hungry for the glory of God, which we've already described as the manifestation of the presence of God, the power of God, and the goodness of God. And Moses was so hungry for it, he's made this statement in Exodus 33:15. If your presence go not with me, carry us not up hither. In other words, he's saying, if I can't count on you manifesting your presence, then this is as far as I go. I'm not going another step if I'm not assured that your presence will be in manifestation. That's how hungry he was for it. Amen. When's the last time you said to the Lord, I'm not going another step until you show me your glory? That's how revival broke out in the nation of Wales. Evan Roberts went into a little chapel and he said, God, I'm not leaving this chapel until you move on my nation. And he sat there in that chapel and prayed until God moved on his nation. I've been to that chapel. I sat in the very place he sat. I visited churches that sprang up all over Wales as a result of that great move of God, the Welsh Revival. But it came as a result of one man hungered for the presence, the power, and the goodness of God. Amen. How desperate are you today? How desperate are we today? We talk about wanting to see His glory, but are you really desperate for it? We talk about wanting to see signs and wonders and miracles, but are you really desperate for it? I wrote a little book here recently entitled Making Room for the Holy Spirit. Most churches I go to don't give the Holy Spirit any place. They talk about wanting a move of God. They talk about wanting to see His glory. But He's not on the schedule. He's not on the program. You know, a lot of places I go to, or I did go to, I don't go to them anymore. They hand me a program. And here's what they're going to do, minute by minute. And I got, 20 minutes to do whatever I'm supposed to do. But make sure you stop in 20 minutes because we're going to do this, this, and this. And I thought, God couldn't move here if He wanted to. He's not on the program. Amen. And yet they talk about, we want to move a God. Brother Jerry, we want to move a God. We're believing for a move of God. I don't see desperation in that. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Every move of God I've been involved in, everything in that service was subject to change. Amen. It was subject to change. We were in Toronto a number of years ago. And I went up there for one night. I'd never met this pastor before, never preached in this church before. And I went up there for one night. And on the way up there, I'm sitting in the back of my airplane, and the Lord said, would you be willing to stay for as long as I want you to? I said, well, Lord, I'll be willing to do anything you want to do, but I'm supposed to be in Riverside, California tomorrow night, and I'm supposed to be in another place the next night. He said, if I will arrange with those pastors to release you from your commitment, will you stay in Toronto for as long as I want you to? I said, yes, sir, but I'm not sure if you realize pastors are a little fickle. They don't like canceling their meeting the night before. Amen? And he said, if I will take care of it, will you do what I ask? I said, you take care of it. I said, I'll stay as long as you want me to. So I went for one night. And when I walked into the pastor's office, we introduced ourselves to one another. He said, Brother Jerry, I was praying today, and the Lord told me to ask you, would you be willing to stay for as long as He wants you to? I said, well, He asked me that on the way up here, and I committed to Him that I would stay as long as He wanted me to stay. So, Pastor, let's go have church and see what happens. And that night, we had such a powerful move of God. And the pastor got up afterwards and said, now, the Lord asked Brother Jerry to stay as long as he wanted him to. And so Brother Jerry said, we're going to stay another night. Would you like to come back tomorrow night? Well, they did. They came back the next night. And we had even a greater move of God. I wound up staying 21 nights, and no two services were alike. And people started coming straight from work to the church. They'd get off at 5 o'clock, they'd come straight to the church, and for 2 hours, they prayed in the Holy Ghost. When I'd walk in the building, it sounded like a beehive. I mean, it was just saturated with the anointing of God. And I said to him, Pastor, the only way this will work is if we agree that everything is subject to change. If I don't get to preach, I don't get to preach. If we don't get to receive the offering, we don't get to receive the offering. If the singer doesn't get to sing their favorite song, she don't sing her favorite song. Everything is subject to change. And he agreed. And I'm telling you, we stayed 21 nights. The Lord said, go home and rest. I went home for a few nights to rest. He said, come back. And I stayed another 14 nights. And then he said, go home and rest. And I came back. And I stayed another 9 nights. We had such a powerful move of God. But not one service was identical to the previous service. Everything was subject to change. Hallelujah. We hungered for God. We were desperate for a move of God. I'd never met a pastor like that prior to that. He was so hungry, and he wanted his people to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit. He was an older man than me. He'd been in the ministry a lot longer than I had. But he was a man who had seen moves of God in the early days. He was a man that hungered for that to happen again because it was not happening in his church. And he wanted to see it again. And he was so hungry that he was willing to lay aside everything that had been pre-planned and just let the Holy Spirit take charge. Amen. Hallelujah. It was one of the most marvelous meetings I'd ever been to in my life. And a lot of pastors came and joined us in the meetings. Some of them from the States, the U.S. And they would ask me to come and do the same thing in their church. I said, I can't promise you it'll happen in your church. I said, number one, this pastor was hungry. Oh, I'm hungry, Brother Jerry. I said, well, this pastor was willing to make everything subject to change. Oh, we'll do that, Brother Jerry. And I'd agreed to come, and they lied. They weren't hungry. They weren't willing to make everything subject to change. They were just hoping something would happen. You know. And I would go for one night, and I'd say, Pastor, I'm sorry. You do need a move of God, desperately need a move of God, but I'm not the man to bring it. I'll pray that God will send the right man, but I'm not the man. Amen. And my own pastor, Harold Nichols, back home before we started a church, and Brother Nichols said, Brother Jerry, come to the church. And when I was in town, I'd attend his church and sometimes speak there, but he was my pastor. He'd say, Brother Jerry, we want to move a God in the church. I said, well, Brother Harold, I don't know if I can do that. I said, there were certain prerequisites that were met. And that's the reason that it happened in Toronto. And he said, well, just come a Sunday night and let's just see if God will move. I said, okay. And I loved him so much. He was such a sweetheart of a guy. And I said, okay, I'll come Sunday night. I started preaching, I'm telling you, it's like preaching that wall. Everything I said bounced off the wall and hit me in the head. That's the deadest group of people I ever preached to in my life. Dear God. And I'm thinking, I am not going to stay another night in this place. I'm thinking that. And Brother Nichols, he's sitting on the platform and he's just like this. He's so excited. The only excitement in the whole building was him. The only fire in the whole building was Pastor. And when I got through preaching, I was so ready to go home. And he told me, go back to my office and you ask the Lord if we stay another night. And he said, and I'm going to ask the people, what do they think? Do we stay another night? I went back to his office and I'm working up my speech, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to hurt his feelings. But I am not a glutton for punishment. I am not staying in this another night. And I heard him running down the hallway. And he opened the door and just stuck his head in. Brother Jerry, do we go another night? And I heard this come out of me. I did not plan it. It was not premeditated. I said, yes, sir, Pastor. We're having a revival here. Tell him we're going to stay another night. He took off running. I thought, you idiot. You idiot. This is not revival. This is not a move of God. Why did you say that? And the Lord spoke up and said, tomorrow night, when you come into this church, I want to teach you the law of combustion. I said, what? He said, I'm going to teach you the law of combustion. I said, how? He said, when Pastor turns the service to you, I want you to start preaching to the only fire in the building, the only flame that's in the building. I said, well, Lord, that's Pastor. He said, then turn your back on the audience. Don't preach to them at all. You preach to Brother Harold Nichols the whole service. I turned my back on the audience, never turned and looked at them. I preached to Brother Nichols, and the sparks began to fly. The law of combustion took place, and we wind up staying 10 nights that had a major move of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because the man was hungry. He was hungry. Glory to God. I haven't seen God move in these kind of ways where there's no hunger. He wants to, but he's not going to violate his own word. He's not going to make something happen if the people don't want it to happen. He's a gentleman. Amen. He obliges where he's invited. Can you say amen? So number one is to hunger for it. Number two is, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Prayer is vital. Once again, God does nothing in the earth until somebody prays. Amen. So, hunger is number one. But prayer is what welcomes the presence of God. Amen. If you truly want it, then do whatever is necessary in prayer to show God that he's welcome here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Every major move of God has come on the wings of hunger and prayer. Hunger and prayer. At little Bible school in Topeka, Kansas, at the turn of the century, 1900, a little group of Bible school students, they started reading the book of Acts and found out about the Holy Spirit and found out about speaking in other tongues and found out about the gifts of the Spirit, and they got hungry for it. And over the Christmas holidays, I believe it was, instead of going home, they decided to stay at the campus and just pray all night, and prayed every night up until New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve, or the next day, a major move of God took place, and it affected the entire nation. And from that, Azusa Street broke out. And from that, the great healing evangelists began to spring up all over the country. Amen. There was hunger demonstrated, and there was prayer. We have not because we ask not. And you say amen. And I know this group has been praying, praise God. I've heard about the praying that's going on over here, and I recognize the hunger, praise God. I tell you what, it sounds like to me we've got two of the ingredients already in place. But what's the third ingredient? Hallelujah. What is the third ingredient? What's the third prerequisite for God showing his glory? Go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
John chapter 11. And I'm just laying the foundation for what I believe is going to take place during the rest of this week. You're all familiar with the story of Lazarus. His sisters, Mary and Martha. When Jesus heard that Lazarus had died, eventually he went to that place where they had laid him in the sepulcher. And one of his sisters says, "Lord, if you had gotten here sooner, you could have saved him." And Jesus said, "He'll rise again." She thought he was talking about at the resurrection. "Oh, yes, we know he'll rise again at the resurrection." He said, "I am the resurrection." In other words, I'm talking about right now, lady. Right now. And then he makes this statement in verse 40. Look at it very closely. "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see." Look at your neighbor and say, "If you believe, you will see." So three major prerequisites. Number one, hunger. Number two, prayer. And number three, believe that God will honor your request. God will honor your hunger. That's faith 101. Believe, you receive when you pray. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So notice he said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And what is the glory of God? Once again, a manifestation of the presence of God, the power of God, and the goodness of God. Amen. This is just simple faith facts. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, Jesus says this to an individual, "As thou hast believed, so be it unto thee." As you have believed, so be it unto thee. The Message translation says, "What you believed could happen has happened." Amen. So Jesus talks a lot in all of the Gospels about the importance of believing. If you're going to hunger for it, if you're going to pray for it, then believe God will honor your prayer, honor your request. Notice when Moses said, "I beseech thee, show me your glory," he was not denied. God honored his request. So if you believe, then you will see the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30, it says, these two blind men walked up to him and wanted him to restore their sight. And he said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So the question I have for you tonight is this. We're talking about hungering for his glory. We're talking about seeing his glory. We're talking about praying for his glory. Do you believe he's able to do this?
Yes.
And do you believe he wants to do it?
Yes.
And do you believe he'll honor your faith?
Yes.
Well, it looks like to me you have everything in order. Get ready to see his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. So once again, we not only hunger for it, we not only pray for it, but we believe that God will honor our request. And we believe it if we're the only one asking for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't take the whole church wanting it. Pastor alone can believe it in. You alone can believe it in. But hey, why don't the whole church get involved? What do you suppose God would do if the whole church hungered for it, prayed it in, and believed they received it? I tell you, there'd be miracles beginning to happen in every service. Hallelujah. Notable miracles in every service. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say it with me again. Lord, show me your glory.
I'm hungry for your glory.
And I believe I receive it. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is giving praise in advance before you ever see anything happen. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen. In a divine appearance of the Lord that I experienced in 1992 in a little town called Liberty, Texas, a supernatural visitation of the Lord. And he talked to me about wanting to impress upon his people that he was the God of the breakthrough. And he said, you tell them that the God of the breakthrough wants to visit their house. And I was preaching in a pastor friend of mine's church in this little town in Liberty that night when the Lord appeared to me and said these words. And then he said, and you tell them that the depth of their praise will determine the magnitude of their breakthrough. The depth of their praise will determine the magnitude of their breakthrough. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that one more time. The depth of their praise will determine the magnitude of their breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I challenge you to praise God tonight. Praise Him unashamedly. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We bless you, Father. We thank you in advance, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I believe we are going to see this week manifestations of His presence, manifestations of His power, and manifestations of His goodness. And one of the things the Lord said to me in prayer today before coming over here, He said, blessings are manifestations of my goodness. And He said, the faithful will abound with blessings. In fact, I preached that at Rhema with Pastor Ray McCauley this morning. And He said, tell them that manifestations of my goodness will be the first thing they experience during the course of this week. Blessings are about to break out in your life like you've never experienced before. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Financial blessings breaking out. This is one of the first things that began to happen with us coming into 2018. And He said, manifestations of my goodness. And blessings are manifestations of the goodness of God. And we got up every morning, and I'm still doing it. And we're saying, show us your glory. Show us your glory today, Lord. And we started having some great financial breakthroughs, praise God. Things that we've been believing for a long time suddenly came to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm believing for some suddenlies to take place in this meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Someone, there may be more than one, someone in here you were faced with some kind of lawsuit. And you know that you are not liable. And yet you've been facing this lawsuit. And the Lord wants you to know He's got it under control. Amen. In fact, a very dear friend of mine back home, this happened with him. And he called me and told me about it. And he said, Brother Jerry, I need to see His glory. He said, I'm being sued for $4 million. And he said, and I know I'm not in the wrong. My lawyers know I'm not in the wrong. And even the people that are suing me, they know I'm not in the wrong. They're just trying to take advantage of my business. And he said, I need to see God's glory. And so we joined in prayer right then. I said, Lord, show Him Your glory. That's all I said. Lord, show Him Your glory. You see, the manifestation of the presence of God, the power of God, and the goodness of God is the solution to anything you'll ever go through in your life. And he had to go to court that day. We prayed, show Him Your glory. And he called me later that afternoon. And he said, boy, I had a miracle today. He said, the judge threw out that thing about $4 million. And he said, it's still pending. And now he said, $1 million. That the most they could get out of this would be $1 million. He said, Brother Jerry, I'm thankful for what God's done. I'm thankful I don't owe the $4 million. But I don't owe the $1 million either. And I want you to believe God with me. I said, Lord, and this was a couple of days later, show Him Your glory. Hallelujah. Show Him Your glory. Show Him Your glory. Hallelujah. And praise God, I want you to know God has taken care of that situation. And I believe He's going to do the same for the person that's experiencing that here. Where are you? Come up here real quick. You've been facing some kind of lawsuit or some kind of judgment against you. And you know that you're not liable for it. I believe God wants to show you His glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you just sit back there, it'll lift. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I know what I heard in the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah.
And that company's trying to get the money out of us illegally.
Yeah. Well, hallelujah. What Satan means for bad, God turns into something good. Hallelujah. It's quite possible that you could wind up not owing a dime and getting a new unit out of it in exchange. Hallelujah. Show Him Your glory. Show Him Your glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a good shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. If you are in desperate need tonight of a financial breakthrough, hold up your hands. A lawsuit thing you're dealing with. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray exactly like I prayed for my friend in the U.S., and You took care of that. Show Him Your glory. Hallelujah. Manifestations of Your goodness, blessings in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm asking for a quick work here. I'm asking for a suddenly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. All kinds of financial breakthroughs are happening in the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just had one. I got an email today. And I'm a person that pays my bills. I'm a person that, you know, honors my whatever I'm liable for the Internal Revenue Service. I pay them. But it was extremely high this year, or last year. And I didn't think I owed that much. I didn't argue with them. I paid it. And today, my CPA said, that penalty they were charging you for almost $20,000, they're going to send it back to you. They decided you didn't know that. I thought, I knew I didn't know that, but it took the glory of God for them to get a hold of it. Amen. When the IRS starts saying we made a mistake, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I call that a manifestation of His glory. I got up this morning saying, show me your glory. And before dark, He'd already showed me His glory through manifestations of His goodness. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. All those people that need a major financial breakthrough right now. Hallelujah. Oh, about five of you, run up here as fast as you can. About five of you with your hands up, run up here as fast as you can. I'm going to use you as a point of contact. In the name of Jesus, may it happen to every person with their hands lifted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for manifestations of your goodness, financial breakthroughs, financial blessings in Jesus' name. You folks in South Africa can't count. That looks like more than five. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, manifestations of your goodness. Show them your glory. Show them your glory. Show them your glory. In the name of Jesus, show them your glory. Financial breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, shout into God and bless Him. Shout into God, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Show Him your glory. Show Him your glory. Show them your glory. Hallelujah. Show them your glory. Show them your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Show them your glory in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout unto the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. I'm expecting testimonies of financial breakthroughs this week. This week. Hallelujah. Show Him your glory, Lord. Show Him your glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Show her your glory. Hallelujah. What are you believing for, sweetheart? What are you believing for?
To make my father get a job in South Africa.
To get a job in your father? Lord, she's standing for her father. He needs a job, Lord. Show this family your glory. Give him the best job he's ever had, making the most money he's ever made, and the greatest benefits he's ever experienced. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for this sweet little girl being concerned about her father. And so I'm asking you to do something very special for her. Something that there'd be absolutely no question nor denying that God made it happen. That's the only way it could happen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Come on, lift your hands and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Show Him your glory, Lord. Show Him your glory. Show Him your glory. Show Him your glory. Show them your glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Show them your glory. Show them your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands one more time. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you know that in the book of Haggai, God makes this statement? I will shake the land. I will shake the nations. The gold and the silver is mine. And the glory of this latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. And he starts out talking about shaking things up. Then he starts talking about silver and gold. He said, it's mine. It's his. It almost appears that God lost his train of thought. He's talking about the glory, but then he starts talking about silver and gold. Sounds like to me, one of the manifestations of the glory of God is a wealth transfer. Amen. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to shake the wealth loose because it's mine. It doesn't belong to the world. It doesn't belong to sinners. It doesn't belong to the ungodly. The wealth of the sinner has been laid up for the just. I believe we're going to start seeing more manifestations of wealth transfer this year than we've ever seen before. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's show God we're hungry for it. Let's show God we're willing to pray for it. Let's show God we are going to believe for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Every head bowed for just a moment. Father, I know it'd be easy to assume everyone in here has already surrendered their life to you, but I don't want to make that assumption. There could be one person that came tonight who's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, and that's where it all begins. Making Jesus the Lord of your life. Blessings will come to your life like you have never imagined when you become one of His own and you're faithful to Him. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone in this place tonight that has never surrendered their life to You, may they make that decision tonight. Holy Spirit, draw them. No man can come to the Father except he be drawn. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone in here that you can identify with that invitation, would you please just make your way to the front and allow me to pray for you? I count it a great honor. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the day when I made that decision. You never forget the day when you made that decision. So if there's anyone that can identify with that, come on up. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way. I'm not trying to humiliate you. I think when you step forward, it makes a statement in the spirit realm. It lets Satan know you are not a pushover. You're not an easy target. You're serious. You're determined. Amen. You're not playing church. You're determined to walk with God. Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? All right, now don't catch me outside after the service say I was the person. The anointing's here now to make it happen. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands one more time. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. I'm hearing in my spirit supernatural debt reduction. Supernatural debt reduction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God can do that. How can He do it, Brother Jerry? I don't know. But you don't get to be called God if you can't do things like that. That I do know. Amen. He's got ways that you couldn't dream up in 1,000 years, and nor could I. Amen. Praise God. But I sense in my spirit there's some people in here going to experience supernatural debt reduction. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And I just heard the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. Hallelujah. The harvest is coming. Our ministry last year, 2017, we sowed $1.9 million into other ministries and into needy people. 100-fold on that. I wouldn't have to receive another offering till mid-millennium. I'm believing for the 100-fold on that. I've got my staff believing for the 100-fold on that. Praise God. In fact, here recently, we had our first staff meeting for 2018. And I had this made, our art department made this, and I wanted everybody on our staff to have one. I will keep on my lips and in my prayers each and every day in 2018, Lord, show me your glory. And on the back, I'm expecting manifestations of God's presence, God's power, and God's goodness. That's our prayer every day. And if God shows us his glory, and I believe he will, then, brother, am I ever going to experience a magnificent harvest? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, if you got seed in the ground, you got seed in the ground, and you're believing for your harvest, hold up your hands if you're believing for your harvest. I'm going to say it once again. Lord, show them your glory. Show them your glory and bring about their harvest in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, I receive it. And give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sounds like to me you really are expecting it. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that your expectation will not be cut off. In other words, God will not disappoint you. Stay expecting. Amen. Get up every morning expecting that somehow, some way, that harvest is coming in. And if it don't come in tomorrow, get up the next day expecting somehow, some way, that harvest is coming in. Praise God. Amen. I sowed a major seed a couple of years ago into another ministry. And I was believing for the harvest. I'm entitled to that. Jesus said so. So we're believing for the harvest. And my harvest on that seed would have been $1 million. And a man came up to me and he said, Brother Jerry, I've been reading your book on From Devastation to Restoration. And he said, my business has taken a nosedive. He said, my father started this business years ago. And when he passed away, it was turned over to me. And he said, and he left it deep in debt. And I've been struggling to keep it afloat all this time. And he said, I've gotten a hold of your book and I've been reading it every day. I've read it 3 times now, all the way through. And he said, and I believe that my devastation is about to be turned to restoration. And he said, and when it does, he said, and I know you've heard this before from other people, but when it does, I'm going to sow into your ministry big time, was his words. And so several months went by. I thanked him for his desire to do that. I believed with him that he would be able to do it. Several months went by. And the first check we got from him was for $300,000. Praise God. That's a wonderful harvest. And then it wasn't long after that, he sent another $250,000. And then it wasn't long after that, he sent another $400,000. And then it wasn't long after that, he sent $600,000. Now, that's already over $1 million. But then in a few weeks, he sent another $1 million. Amen. I got my harvest. Hallelujah. God never forgets a seed sown. And your harvest is hunting you down right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So, expect it. Expect to see His glory in your finances. And praise God, I believe He's going to do so much more than that during the course of this week. So let's just stay in prayer and let's stay expecting. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right, Pastor, I'll turn it back to you.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You guys may be seated. Well, you know that a couple of weeks ago, the Lord really impressed on my heart to just spend some time with Him alone. And then I came back and the Lord showed me we're not going to be 5 minutes late. Never will we be late again. We're on time. Now, what I didn't tell you, because the Lord prevented me from speaking to you and speaking it out at that time, was the Lord showed me exactly what Brother Jerry has just said, that our harvest is not 5 minutes late. Our harvest is on time. And it might seem sometimes like your harvest is 5 minutes late, but it will be on time. And I agree 100% with Brother Jerry that this is on time harvest that's hunting you down and it's about to manifest itself in Jesus' name.